I really believe, and I don't say this often, I really believe that God wants to do some special things in the service this morning. And sometimes you get that feeling when everything goes wrong, when you feel like the adversary, the devil is just trying to keep you from getting, you know, from accomplishing the things that God wants to accomplish. That we have a special Sunday planned for today, and it was just one of those weeks where it just seemed like nothing could go right. Nothing could go right. That we're continuing our series on Proverbs, on wisdom for today, and we're preaching on probably one of the most fun topics, preaching on love. It's Valentine's week. It's you know, Wednesday. If you don't know, men, I'll give you a little heads up, keep you out of trouble. Wednesday the 14th, it's Valentine's Day. Be aware, write that in your calendar, you know, write a note on your hand, whatever you need to do. So we decided we're preaching through this series on Proverbs. He said, you know what, let's look into what Proverbs says about love and how we should love wisely, about how we should love well. And to be honest, though, I didn't know if I felt qualified to preach this sermon, or at least not by myself. You know, guys, I don't know if you're like me, but you do some knuckleheaded stuff sometimes. You know, yeah, sometimes you don't always do things as well as you should. So I thought, you know what? I need to call in a love expert. I'm going to call the person that I think loves the best, or at least loves me the best, of everybody that I know. So I asked Amy, my wife, if she would help me preach today's sermon today. So would you welcome Pastor Amy with me?
Well, good morning. Thank you. I'm sorry, I'm a woman, and I just wanted to bring some cute things for our table.
Get that? All right, get that.
Look at that. Just so you don't forget what our topic is right there.
It's fun.
All right, and you know, you were talking about how this week has been rough.
Oh, yes.
And it has, and you know, kind of started Monday night.
Yes.
And I just have to apologize because Sawyer came running into our room and he wanted to climb up and snuggle with us. That happens most nights. And I was like, oh, but Mira's going to be by herself. So then I left. And then about an hour or two later,
it was around like 4 a.m.
You were calling me and you said, you need to come quick because I was sleeping and I was woken up by some wet, mushy stuff all over me.
Yep, Sawyer. All over my back, just.
And so that just was the beginning of our week. We went through a lot of sheets.
And to be fair, when you were holding Mira and she did the same thing to you, I started laughing.
Because that was like Thursday, and by this point we were.
And I just said, I said, Amy, there's a special place in heaven for moms who love their kids. And I wanted to get you just a little something, a little maybe to add to the table, just to say thanks for. See if I can find it back here. Oh, there it is. Oh, here we go. Some balloons, you know.
Oh.
Maybe I'll put.
Thanks. You know what? I brought something for you.
Okay, thank you.
Because today, or this week, you are a rock star, so I got you this.
Oh, thank you.
Because
I know
you
some
did
of you
Monday
might
night.
Have the shirt, but it's you know, we can share the title.
But really, after this week, I feel like we could pretty much conquer anything.
Oh, for sure.
We are the team. It was a rough one.
It was a rough week. But you know what? I think you learn that you know how to love wisely and love well when things are tested a little bit, when things get a little tough. But getting back to the topic at hand, basically what we want to do today is we just want to ask, what does it mean to love wisely? Or if you will, from a Christian perspective, from a wisdom perspective, what is love?
What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me. No more.
Okay. If you don't know, my wife loves to sing. If she could, she would make everything a musical, like this whole sermon would be.
I just saw The Greatest Showman last weekend, and all I want to do is sing and dance to everything, my life. Why can't life be a musical?
So you can sing as much as you want for your part of the sermon.
Okay.
So, but we just want to talk about what is love. And to be honest, balloons may be black. They have this like cool
the
stuff.
The price tag is still on there.
They
very
can,
clearly.
Oh, sorry.
By the way.
Sorry. Oh.
Thank you for spending $5.75 on me today.
Sorry about that. Is that better? Maybe doesn't block the
screen. When you're married, I guess you can do that, right?
So, but because that's we want another reason why we wanted to address this topic is if we're honest, man, we have an issue. Like we don't always love like we should. We don't always love well. It's not a new issue. It's something that's been around for forever. But it's true for us. It's true for our culture. It's true for us as individuals. But Solomon noticed it. And Proverbs 20 verse 6, I feel like is kind of like our theme verse for today. Because it really spells out the problem that we want to then find a solution to. That Proverbs 20 verse 6 says this. It says, many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find. I mean, let me just say that again. Many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find.
I hear a lot of people going, mm-hmm. Like, all the single ladies, all the single ladies. Come on, put your hands up. Right? No. They're like, a faithful man who can find.
Yeah.
You know what? Our topic this morning, we are talking about love. And we will address some things about marriage. But I want to talk just for a second to those who are single out here and let you know that it's okay, and let you know that there are still amazing and faithful men or women out there, right? I wanted to share a verse with you guys that I think should be the prayer for all of our single people out there right now. Proverbs 4, 23 through 27. Keep your heart with all diligence. From it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Friends who are single, if you take this verse, these verses, and pray it daily, you will stay on the path that the Lord has for you, and He will bring about the person that He has designed for you. But that first verse, above all else, guard your heart. Other translations say, for it is the wellspring of life. It is what life comes out of. Guard it. Hold your standards high for that person that you need in your life. Hold it high. I'm telling you, I had really high standards. Really high standards.
I got lucky, kind of snuck in.
I started making a list when I was a teenager. I'm not kidding you, it was a list. It was on a pink piece of paper. It's in a box still somewhere from our move. I'm sorry, I would have brought it and shown you. But it was this piece of paper, and I just, as a teenager, I started writing things down that I wanted in my future spouse. And I was very, very specific. Like, he had to have been a Royal Ranger. No joke, that was on the list.
I was like really glad I was in Royal Ranger through junior high. Like, that was good.
Okay. Another thing was that I wrote this. He had to love God's word and know it hardcore. That was like my words. Okay, hardcore was like the cool thing to say at that time. But that was it. And then I met this man over here.
Like, praise God for Bible quiz.
He was in teen Bible quiz and had memorized 13 books of the Bible. So I was like, oh, check. You know, I remember one time we weren't dating yet. He was just over at my apartment, and we were in the middle of this conversation, and he said something, and I was like, oh, it was on my list. And so I was like, excuse me one second. I like ran back to my bedroom, pulled out my Bible, pulled out that list, check. You know, it was like, check, check. All these things were checked, and when he checked off that last one, I was like, he is the one. I knew before he knew because he matched up with my list. So I'm telling you, ladies and gents, have your standards high, because God will bring that perfect person for you at that perfect time. He has it ready for you. So don't give up. Do not lower your standards. It is not worth it. Because I'm telling you, marriage is awesome and amazing, but it's also hard, and you want to be in it with the right person.
Amen. Because, I mean, let's face it, even when you marry someone who matches up well with you, man, it's difficult. It's difficult. It's even when you're both loving Jesus, you're both walking in the Lord together, you go through hard times. That question, a faithful man who can find, I mean, that is, Solomon is obviously talking to his son, reference, asking him, like, are you going to be faithful? But I think it just is applicable to women. I think when we look at the state of marriage in our country today, man, we see that bears out, that it's difficult. It's difficult to find people who are willing to be faithful. And it's something that, man, that's true across all generations, Got any baby boomers in the house? You guys own the distinction of having the highest divorce rate of any generation ever. And you know what? Us younger folks, like millennials, Gen Xers, like, the only reason we're better is because we just don't get married in the first place. Like they say millennials there's going to be like 25% or more of millennials who will just never get married. They'll just, maybe live with people for a while, move in, move out, and then they don't feel like joining that institution of marriage. And so it's not like things are necessarily getting better. It's just doing things differently. But we just want to delve into that question of, man, how do we find faithful love? How do we ourselves become those men and those women who love faithfully, who love wisely? And what does the Bible tell us is the solution of how to do it? And I would say that this message, this sermon, this topic is relevant, not just if you're single looking for a spouse, if you're married trying to be that faithful person to your spouse. I mean, it's relevant if you're a widow, if you're not looking, whatever situation you are in, that it is relevant to ask ourselves, how do we love well? How do we love faithfully? How do we be the type of person, whether it's a spouse, a brother, a sister, a parent, a friend, a coworker, whatever, whom those that we love know that we're there for them, that we are faithful to them no matter what. So let's dig into Proverbs. Let's see, what does Proverbs have to say is the solution, or how we go about loving well, loving wisely? I would say, first and foremost, the first maybe solution, the first way that we go about loving wisely is to love unconditionally. To love unconditionally. Proverbs 17:17 says this: a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. That kind of steadfast love, that unconditional love, I think it's important to remember that when we seek to love that way, we are reflecting the kind of love that God has for us. If you permit me to jump outside of Proverbs for a moment, Lamentations 3:22-23 describes the love of God in this way. It says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Now, I was tempted to sing that. Some of you guys know the hymn, but you all don't want to hear me singing. But when we seek to love well and love wisely, we want to reflect the kind of steadfast, unconditional love that God has for us. Does it mean that life is always going to be good and easy? No, it doesn't. But it means that He's going to love us through the tough times. And I think any kind of relationship you're in, whether it's a relationship between family members, a husband, a wife, relationship between close friends, it is vital to know that the other person has your back no matter what comes down the road. I still remember I played football growing up in high school, and man, I remember my football coach kind of lifting up people as examples who he wouldn't mind getting in a fight in a back alley with. And I remember it was like such a weird like example, like, you want us to like break the law together? Like, what? No. But really what he was trying to get at was, I know this person is going to have my back, period. They're faithful. They're behind me. They're there for me no matter what comes my way. And that's the kind of love that if we want to be a faithful man or a faithful woman that we have to have, we need to stick through adversity. Because let's be honest, like, man, life throws us some curveballs. I mean, this week was a good example. There is no one I would rather clean up our kids' messes with than you. Just trying to keep it PG rated, you know?
I would even clean yours up.
Yeah. So it was, this was week was for us. I mean, Tuesday through Thursday was, I don't know how many loads of laundry we did, but it was, man, it was such a blessing to not be going through that on my own. To know that my partner wasn't going to back out when things got tough, wasn't going to say, oh, no, this is too difficult, I'm gone, but that she was going to just put one foot in front of the other with me and be there with me, carry the load, share the load with me. That it was, we need friends like that. We need partners like that. We need spouses, brothers, sisters who will do that with us. We need some people to lean on.
Lean on me. When you're not strong, I'll be your friend. We could even do the motions.
Yeah, I don't know the motions.
Were you not in youth group in the 90s?
I'll help you carry. Okay, sorry.
You know, it really is good to not just have a great marriage partner to go through life in, but to have that friend mm-hmm. that sticks closer than a brother. That friend that is with you through the thick of it, you know? I have friends that I just don't know where I would be in life without. And Eric and I were talking about it. It's kind of funny because they all start with J. Mm-hmm. Jamie, Julie, Janelle. It's like, I need the J's in my life. Yep. But they have been there through those really tough times. Mm-hmm. Those times where you are, you know, just being able to be raw. You need someone like that where you can just be raw and real and they're still going to love you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of times when we are the people that we're most comfortable with, they kind of get the brunt of us. You know, if you feel comfortable with someone, you're going to feel comfortable with someone. And so, you know, you might be a little...
You might complain to that person.
You might complain. You might be a little moody, you know. All that stuff, but you need someone who is like that in your life. You need those people that are steadfast and faithful in your life. You know, if you don't have that, I encourage you to find, there are some amazing people in this room right now that would be that friend for you. So get connected. Get connected. Serve on a team. Build those relationships. Join a small group. Go to a Bible study. Go to the church picnic today. Go to the church picnic today and find a friend. You will, I promise you. But there are great people in this room that you want to connect with to go through life because life is not always easy. Mm-hmm. And you want to be able to love unconditionally and you want someone to love you unconditionally. And so we need those friends in our lives.
Amen. Amen. And let me speak again just to like spouses. I feel like at times in our marriages and our relationships, if we ever feel like the other person is not doing something for us, we have a temptation to then not give that back to them. That if we feel like the other person isn't sticking by us through difficult times, then, well, why should we stick by them? And I think it's really easy to get into a downward spiral, if you will, you know, where you're just not there for each other because you feel you've been hurt, you felt like the other person has let you down, and then you let them down, and it can kind of feed back and forth. That let me just encourage you that the idea of unconditional love means that there's nothing that would keep you from loving them, even them, right? Even them. And so you just want to love them no matter what, even if you feel like they fail. You say, you know, I'm not going to fail you. We all make mistakes. We all are going to let each other down sometimes. But I'm going to keep on trying to reflect the love that God has for you. Because, like you said, when you are in those close relationships, whether it's a marriage or a friendship, I think you can tell the depth of the relationship by if that's the kind of person that you're willing to unload on. That when you are hurting, that you just let it all out. I know in our lives that, man, we've had some fights. We've had some difficult things that we've went through. And, oh, man, I'm thinking about our kids right now that, you know, Amy and I think probably some of our lowest lows was family formation. That we, you know, when we got married, you know, it talked about like having a list. One of the things on both of our lists was we wanted a spouse, we wanted a lot of kids, that we wanted to have a big family. And we have a big family now, praise God. But
yes, we do.
It didn't come easily. We struggled with infertility for 8 years. And didn't think that we'd ever have any biological kids. You know, we were foster parents for 5 years, that we had foster kids that we, you know, we took a two-day-old baby home from the hospital being told we'd be able to adopt this child, only to find out months later that we wouldn't be able to, that there, you know, another family member had come forward, that we went through those times together. And you know what? In the midst of that pain, at times we did say things or do things do things that would hurt each other, or just unloaded because we're hurting, because whatever, that when you live life together, when you hurt together, man, you can let your guard down. And I think it's important to say that unconditional love through adversity is not just through the good times, or not just through the difficult times that are caused by outside circumstances, but it's also the difficult times that are self-created. When we do things that are wrong, when we say things and do things that hurt each other, that part of that is loving unconditionally. And it kind of brings us to our second point, that if we want to be faithful and love the other person, we need to, one, love unconditionally, but two, love practices kind of a form of continual repentance. We need to repent continually. That's probably just as tough, maybe, as loving through the hard times, as admitting when we've done things that are wrong. Proverbs 28:13, it says this. It says, "Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses them and forsakes them will obtain mercy." Man, I just want to read that again. "Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy." And of course, this verse is talking about our relationship with God, that whoever conceals his transgressions, and it's silly to try and conceal them from God because he knows everything, but, you know, we need to confess and find mercy from God, and he's going to forgive us. But on the flip side, we want to try and practice that same love that God has for us, right? And I think in our own relationships, man, let's be honest, we have a tendency when we make mistakes to hide them, to not admit to them, to not come out and confess them. Ladies are the same way, but I think, man, the stereotype is for men, and it's a true stereotype. I think it might also be true for ladies, but it's hard for men to say those three words, "I was," I'm glad you said it, I didn't have to. No, right? Right, but like, it's hard for us to say, "I was wrong." It's hard for us to admit I was wrong. And you know what? That's just even about the things that we already know the other person knows about, right? That when you say something hurtful, you don't want to admit that you're wrong. When you've done something hurtful that your friend, that your spouse doesn't know about, man, I feel like within the church, it can be especially that way, that we want to pretend like we're perfect. We want to put up this facade that says, "My marriage is perfect, my life is perfect, I never make mistakes, I never sin." But you know what? The Bible says all have sinned. We all fall short. And there is something so valuable about honesty, about confession, about saying that, you know what, there's something I need to tell you, that I've made this mistake, and getting it off your chest. Because if you don't, then you never have that healing. You never have that mercy. You never actually fix the problems that are there. You just sweep them under the carpet till there's a bigger and bigger and bigger pile of junk that you're hiding. And then it becomes so big that eventually the other person notices. And then that's when you have like a scandal. Like, you make this bigger, bigger, bigger mistake. And then your marriage might be too far gone to save. Your friendship might be too far gone to save, because then you didn't deal with it when it was a small thing. You just let it get bigger and bigger and bigger.
I heard someone recently say that it's easier to have that 5-minute awkward conversation, which may be longer, than to have 5 years of awkwardness or hiddenness. You know, when we can say, "Oh, I've been struggling with this," or "This happened," letting the having that conversation can really help in the long run, mm-hmm. right? I mean, and repentance, gosh, that is sometimes can be like a very touchy word mm-hmm. in the Christian world. We don't want to say it's almost like a cuss word, you know, like the R word. We just, because it makes us admit that we are wrong, that we did something that is not right. And our human nature, we are so prideful mm-hmm. and we don't want to admit that we have done anything wrong, right? Sawyer, he hasn't got this yet. He hasn't got the prideful, "don't admit that you've done anything wrong" thing down yet. He actually, you know, he'll do something wrong, and quickly confess, you know?
He'll tattletale on himself.
He will tattletale on himself, yes. So the other day, I was like, Sawyer, like, he was missing. And then he came out, and he's like, has something behind his back, and he's a little, Mommy, I was just eating these cookies underneath the table. I snuck them. He just wants to, you know, and at that point you're like, oh, you were so honest. Thanks for being honest. And we'll be like, just eat the rest of the bag, no. You know, because he was honest and truthful, and you want to reward him for being honest and truthful. And you know what? It sometimes that's actually how Jesus is with us. Mm. As I was looking up verses about repentance, I was struck by this awesome pattern in the Bible. Whenever I found repentance, I also found God's promise of forgiveness, of mercy, of grace, of love. Mm-hmm. Here's a couple of them. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land.
Amen.
1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Are you catching on? Acts says, repent therefore and turn again that your sins may be blotted out. Do you see this pattern? How about this one? God's loving kindness leads us to repentance.
Mm.
Here's the thing, like, we are talking about relationships here this morning, but let's just reflect on how great God is. That when we come to him, when we offer him, when we say we have messed up, he is not punishing us. He is offering us forgiveness. He is blotting out those transgressions. He's saying, no more. I give you forgiveness. I give you grace and I give you mercy. Wow, we can learn so much from that. Yeah.
And I feel like as a church, if we want to be the community, the family that God has called us to be, to reflect that kind of love, it all starts with honesty.
Yeah.
It starts with admitting that we're not okay, that we sin. Like, it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to admit. It doesn't mean that it's okay to stay that way. I think, you know, we talk about repentance. The second half of that, you know, the verse that I read earlier, not just confess it, but forsake it, to go away from it. Repentance is not just the admission of guilt, but it's having that change of mind, heart, and direction. That we say, I'm not gonna head in the direction I was headed. I'm not gonna keep going down this path in our relationship. I'm not gonna keep doing the same things, the same self-destructive, the same things that hurt you. I'm not gonna do those things anymore. I'm gonna do my best to change course, to not do that. And does that mean that we're gonna be perfect going forwards? No. But it means that we're gonna do everything that we can to have that change of direction, that course correction, that repentance, that we're gonna, but we can't, let's be honest, we can't have the course correction if we don't admit we're headed in the wrong direction, right? That we can't head where God wants us to head if we don't first admit that we're heading in the wrong way, that we're doing things that are wrong, that if we don't bring those things into the light, we can't fix them. Mm-hmm. Can't fix them.
I think it's easy for us when we are down that path to want to hide in the darkness. And that's when we need those friends that we talked about earlier that are going to love us unconditionally, that we can go to and say, I'm messing up.
Yeah.
Or maybe I messed up in our relationship with you. Man, I just have to let you know, like, you shared this in confidence with me and I told someone else and I'm really sorry. You know, like, those things, we need to repent to our friends, share what we're going through with our friends so they can hold us accountable and walk through it together.
Amen. Amen. And I think it's on the flip side, there's a truth that Proverbs teaches us that we need to be honest about what we've done. But on the flip side, we also need to be okay with others being honest with us. And this is one of my favorite passages, and it can kind of be like, it'll get you a little bit, because we don't always like to hear certain truths. But Proverbs 27:5-6 tells us this. It says, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Man, I don't know about you, but for me, like, if someone wants to point out my faults, your default reaction, your safety mechanism is, oh, that person's judgmental. That person's judgmental. Although they're just, you know, we will put all sorts of bad motives on them. But let's be real. If someone comes to you in love and like sticks their neck out to let you know that you're doing something that's wrong, that you've done something that's wrong, like they love you a whole lot to risk the wrath that you might then give back to them for that, to risk being labeled judgmental, to risk the fracturing of the relationship. They love you more than they fear getting in a fight with you. That we as Christians, we need to recognize and we need to actually desire friends who are going to call us on the carpet when we need to be called on the carpet, who are going to tell us like it is. And if I can brag on my wife, I still remember my wife when we were youth pastors, like she was awesome at this. I was like maybe a stereotypical middle child. I was like a peacemaker, but always, you know, I would do it, but the Holy Spirit would really need to convict me, to let me know, hey, you need to talk to this kid about this thing. But Amy, we like nicknamed her Righteous Anger Amy, rah. And she would call kids on the carpet. And I remember when we moved away from Pennsylvania, we had, like, especially a lot of girls in the youth group, they'd come up to her crying and just being like, who am I going to have in my life who's just going to tell me like it is? Like, they would recognize how she had saved them from so much heartache by telling them, hey, that boy is no good for you, you know? Or they'd recognize that she had saved them from an unwanted pregnancy by saying, hey, don't go spend the night at this house, or don't do these things. They would recognize how she had helped them avoid this pain in their lives that sin would have caused, because she was willing to call them on the carpet when they needed it. And they didn't have many friends who were like that. They didn't have many friends who loved them enough to tell them, you're headed down the road towards destruction. And that we need to be open and willing to receive that kind of correction from our friends. It's needed.
Which brings us to our next point. So sometimes we need to confess. We need to repent. And you know what? We need to forgive.
Amen.
We need to forgive radically. I'm so sorry, but there is no one who's perfect. You will not find the perfect person. They will make mistakes. They will hurt you. We are humans and we will be hurt. And we need to forgive. And not just forgive, but forgive radically. In Proverbs 10, verse 12, it says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses.
Not just some.
Not just some. Hatred stirs up strife. You know, it is easy for us to, usually when we need to forgive, it's because we've been hurt. And it's easy for us to hold on to that hurt. And that hurt builds up a wall. And the wall gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And all of a sudden, there is this humongous wall between you and your spouse, you and your friend. And it started with unforgiveness. It started with unforgiveness. Now, will forgiveness heal? Not necessarily. But healing cannot take place if there isn't forgiveness. We need to have forgiveness in our lives. We need to forgive radically, even when it's hard, even when it's difficult. Sometimes forgiveness can be harder than repentance. It's hard to accept that apology sometimes, or hard to move on, but we need to walk in a life of forgiveness. You know, Jesus shows us the forgiveness in Matthew 6:14. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Guys, we cannot walk a life of unforgiveness. Your life will be just not the way that Lord wants you to be living an abundant life if you're walking in unforgiveness.
Amen.
Let it go. I won't. I won't.
So, but let's be honest. We are called to be radically different than the culture around us. The culture around us is filled with divorce. The culture around us is filled with serial monogamy, where you're just with one person for a time being until something happens that you can't forgive, and then you move on. Until you hide your sins until the other person discovers them, and then you go your separate ways. That if we want to be different, we have to come to grips with the fact that we're still going to be imperfect people. But we need to reflect God. the faithful love of God, the repenting and forgiving love of God, that's willing to confess our sins and is willing to forgive when the other person confesses. I mean, let's be honest, like we know the statistics, right? Like, there are couples in this room right now that husbands, you're dealing with pornography. You're dealing with lust. There are couples in this room right now where there might be wives who have racked up debt that they haven't told their husbands about. There might be vice versa. There might be the same situation of the opposite gender. And we just keep it a secret. Our relationship is like it has cancer. It's sick. That we wonder why we don't have the love, it feels like the love is missing, or we wonder why there's this animosity or these fights that spring up, and it's because we have all of this hidden sin in our lives, this hidden sin in our relationships. And this is a maybe a little more heavy than what I was going for this morning, but let me challenge you. If you have hidden sin that is hurting your relationship, let me just give you a plan. Today is a, man, we've had a good worship time today. We're going to have fun at the park. We're going to have an awesome night of worship tonight. Take advantage of those times. Take advantage of spending some time with your spouse, enjoying their company at the park this afternoon. Come tonight. Just bask in the Holy Spirit's presence to get your heart right with Him. Confess to Him. And have a difficult conversation tonight. Be willing to admit things that you have kept hidden for years. Be willing to say to your spouse, hey, I struggle in this area. And spouses, be willing to hear and forgive. Be willing to accept the fact that the other person is a sinner. Accept the fact that they have made mistakes and that they're going to work to not make them anymore. They're going to work towards repentance. That I challenge you that we live in a culture that we're not willing to fix our faults. And unless we're actually willing to do those two incredibly, incredibly difficult and painful things of being honest, confessing, and then forgiving of that hurt, then we're not going to have healthy relationships. We're not going to be able to love well or love wisely or love the way that God wants us to love each other. Because we're going to have this sickness, this disease, that's this unspoken, hidden thing that's between us, but it's still there, still keeping us from having the kind of relationship that God wants us to have.
Our final thing that we want to talk about today is to cherish love lavishly.
Amen.
Those are like pretty seductive words. Cherish love lavishly. But it's so, love is an amazing thing. God gave us this emotion. He gave us this feeling to live out in our relationships with each other and our relationships with Him. He wants us to love. Love deeply. Love where you can forgive. Love where you can repent. Love where you enjoy each other's company.
Amen.
Because there are times where it is not very fun. But love deeply. There is Proverbs 3:3 says, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. This verse, I just love it. It reminds me of when I was a little girl, we'd have these lockets. Mm. Gold lockets in the shape of a heart. And I had mine engraved. There was my name was engraved. My dad got it for me when I was an honor star, missionette. He had this. That's why I had to marry a Royal Ranger. But, you know, this verse, that's the picture I have in my mind, is this locket around my neck that has that name engraved. And I was in a ministry internship when I first got out of high school, and we had this small group. I had a small group of junior high teenagers, and they were my kids. They were my people. They were who I poured and poured and poured and poured into week after week after week, numerous times a day, when all their sporting events and all those things. And I remember crying out to God and saying, Jesus, engrave their names in my heart. Mm. I want to love them the way you love me. I want to love them the way you love them. engrave their names in my heart. And to this day, they are tucked deep in there. I encourage you to ask God to engrave the names of those that you love into your heart, that you will not forsake them. You would not leave them, that you would be able to forgive them. You would be able to offer them forgiveness when times are rough, because their name is engraved in your heart. Sometimes we need that for our kids, because it can be rough, right? And there's times where you're like, you know, I love you, but I don't know if I like you today. You know, am I the only one? Okay, just checking. But we want to, you know, engrave those people in our hearts. You know, and today we talk so much about our earthly relationships, but how amazing is it that we have a Heavenly Father that set an amazing example for us on how we should love?
Amen.
He loves us despite our faults. He loves us no matter how many times we do things that do not deserve forgiveness, but yet He offered it for us. He knew what we were going to do. He knew the sins that we were going to commit, and yet He died on the cross for us, offering us forgiveness and eternity in heaven. He gives us this amazing example, and how awesome is it that we can live that life just like that? We can forgive so freely. We can love so freely because Christ loved us first.
Amen. I like that. I love that point that you said about when we engrave other people on our hearts, that's going to be what motivates us to do these other things. Because let's be honest, we can be selfish and we can just say, you know what, that other person isn't worth it to me to admit that I'm wrong to them. That other person isn't worth it to me to forgive them for what they've done. That other person isn't worth it to me to be there for them because they got some really difficult things that's going on in their lives and I don't want to have to deal with it. But when we love like God loves, when He writes the names of our friends, our spouses, our family members, our kids, our brothers, our sisters, our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, when He writes them on our hearts so that we love them like He loves us, when we have that kind of love for them, that's when we're going to be willing to love them through the tough times. That's when we're going to be willing to love them enough to be there for them when everything is going wrong. When we're going to be willing to love them enough to admit to them our hidden secrets so that they can forgive us and they can help us become better people. We're going to love them enough to forgive them when they admit to us the things that they have done wrong to us. That only when we love like God loves that we're going to be able to love wisely. Only when we receive the kind of love that He has for us that we can then reflect that to others. So this morning, Pastor Japheth, if you and the worship team would come. We would just want to close with a call to do two things. Pick up that. The first is, if you don't know Christ, as Pastor Amy shared a second ago, we want to invite you to receive the kind of love that we talked about this morning. The kind of love that we want to have for others, God has displayed perfectly to us. Especially in the person of Jesus Christ, when He came to this earth and died on the cross for us, as Pastor Amy described. And if you don't know that kind of love, I want to give you the opportunity to receive it. That God offers that to all of us, no matter what mistakes we've made, no matter what path we've been on in the past. God offers us forgiveness. God offers us a chance to be loved by Him lavishly. If we accept Him as Lord and Savior, if we accept and say, God, I'm tired of living the way that I think is right, and I want to live according to Your will. I want You to be the Lord and Savior of my life. And the second thing I want to challenge us to do is for all of us to ask ourselves, how are we loving? Are we loving well? Are we loving the way that God loves? Do we love our spouses enough to admit the wrongs that we've done to them, to get rid of the hidden sin? Do we love our friends enough to admit those imperfections, those things that we've done wrong? Do we love those who are hurting enough to join them in the valley, in the pain, in the hurt, in the adversity, in the storms that life is sending their way, and to walk with them through it? Do we love each other enough to forgive? To forgive deep wrongs, deep pain that they might cause us? When I say forgive, I don't mean that there's not ever a time where there might be the line between enablement and real reconciliation. I've counseled, I've talked with students who've had boyfriends, girlfriends, or adults, husbands, wives who cheated on them and who have separated. And there is a time and a place where that's appropriate. But I feel like the love of God is one that says, you know what? I can't be with you right now because of what you've done. But I'm going to be open to reconciliation if you're able to forsake your sin. And that is an incredibly difficult thing to be able to do. That's harder than admitting that you have a problem. You have a spouse who's an alcoholic. You might need to say, you know what? I need to move out of the house. It's not safe being with you right now. But I love you enough that if you're willing to come to grips with the addiction that you have and get the help that you need, I'm open to reconciliation. I'm open to forgiveness. I want to forgive you if you're able to repent. That being a Christian, loving that way, that type of forgiveness isn't just enablement to say, oh, whatever you do is fine. But it is saying, you know what, I'm willing to take the deep wounds and to forgive those deep wounds when you're able to repent, when you're able to get the help that you need. So let's just pray this morning, and we want to sing. And so there are times with services like these where we have things that are maybe beyond us, beyond me to put into words the kind of response that we need. We just want to invite the Holy Spirit to come. And so we just want to worship, and the altars will be open. If you just need to pray, maybe you need to pray to receive God's love in a way for others that you've never had before so that you can love them the way that He loves you. Maybe you need to pray for God to soften your heart, that you'd have the courage to forgive, the courage to repent, the courage to confess things that need to be confessed, repented of, or forgiven. But let's stand and let's pray together this morning. God, we thank you for your love. God, we don't know how to love as we should. God, our love can so often be selfish. Our love so often can be conditional. Our love so often can fail. But God, we thank you that you are a God who loves us unconditionally, who loves us faithfully, whose love never fails. God, who forgives no matter what we've done. So God, I pray, Lord, that we would be able to receive your love this morning. God, that we would confess our sins to you first, knowing that you will forgive us, knowing that you will love us. God, and that when we receive the love that you have for us, that we would be able to give it to those around us. We'd be able to give it to our friends, our coworkers, our children, our siblings, our parents, our spouses. That we would love like you loved. That we would love through the hard times. We would love even when it means admitting that we're wrong, confessing to the secrets that we want to keep hidden. And that love even means forgiving pain that others cause, even when it's deep. God, help us to love like that. Help us when we can't do it on our own. Give us the love that we need to love others. Pray these things in your name. Amen. Let us worship the Lord and receive His love. As always, the altars are open if you'd like to receive prayer or just to be with God.